Speaking of supporters, Russell Brown is also, we like to think of him as one of our great supporters. He has been at all three Webstocks. He's the only speaker that has spoken at all three. We really like him. That's why we keep asking him back. He's a really nice guy. Most of you will know him, of course, from The Listener, from Public Address, his hard news blog, and also from now The Small Screen and Media 7, which is the only current affairs show from New Zealand I can really watch. So please give a big warm welcome to Russell Brown.
You can't beat Wellington on a good day. Today, beatable. As you'll see from your program, this is the topic of my presentation, but things happen. And in particular, what happened this week was that. There's been quite a lot said, some of it wrong, about the provenance of the Section 92A protest. I wound up on the radio yesterday, not quite expecting to be in a debate, wound up on BFM talking to, having an argument with a friend of mine who's an entertainment lawyer. And what he said was kind of interesting, and I think it's indicative of what people on the other side of this debate are telling themselves. The first thing he said was, you just want to clear the way for piracy without consequences. I said, no, that's not what I've said at all. And the second thing he said was, this is all telecoms doing, which was absolutely news to me. But no, he was convinced that, because he thought that John Key was wavering on implementing 92A as proposed next week. And he said, it's the biggest lobbying machine in the country. And that's what's happening. Completely wrong. The reason the government is under pressure is because Simon Powell's office is getting flooded with emails. No one knew this was going to happen. This wasn't even planned this time last week. What happened was that at Foo Camp, a young guy called Matthew Holloway, who's one of the people behind the Creative Freedom Foundation, came along and we talked about copyright all weekend. I actually had to go to a session that was not about copyright and not about the media because my head was bursting. And I don't know how he did it, but the final session on copyright, he stood up, presented again, and he looked really, really tired. He looked like he'd been carrying this whole thing himself. And then a couple of people jumped up and said, hey, we can do stuff here. And they said about it. And I really liked what Zay Frank said yesterday. We've been so obsessed with building baseball fields that we kind of forget that we're supposed to play in them. And another way of putting that is we've got the greatest set of social organisation tools in human history, but we're not that organised. And I think you saw that during debate and submissions on the Copyright Amendment Bill last year. There was a situation where Internet New Zealand had to step in and be the voice on format shifting. Copying music CDs has nothing to do with them, but there was no other voice. Meanwhile, the copyright interest had spent several tens of thousands of dollars on lawyers. There was no voice. That was a problem. But we actually started using these tools for something other than phatic communion. And that's a Twitter page. You'll notice down the left, everyone's icon has gone black. We didn't know this idea was going to catch on like this, but I saw Juha's tweet to Stephen Fry. I think Nat Talkington did so as well. Could you join us? And Stephen Fry said, yeah, I can. And he also linked to Juha's, and I don't think Juha told his admins first. So there was quite a lot of scrambling there because Stephen Fry has 190,000 followers. But it was a wonderful example of the way people can use these tools to organise and do something in the real world. And I think it's been marvellously effective, and also, we got a game out of it. Oh, come on. Blackout bingo. And you see, I've got two lines there. Webstock, unfortunately, is letting me down. I understand about branding, but I could have been doing a lot better. One of those is Jack Black. which I figure counts. Let's do it manually. I urge you to go and have a look at the Creative Freedom website. I really admire the approach that these people have taken, particularly because they have not been confrontational, and it would be all too easy to be confrontational, to demonize the other side. They have made constructive suggestions. I think the idea of a low-cost copyright court modeled on the disputes tribunal is a way around this. We are not saying copyright doesn't matter, and it's sometimes frustrating to hear the echo back as if we are saying that. But even so, and I've seen it on public address as well, people have gotten really frustrated with some of the music people who've been pulling their heads above the parapet on the other side. And I know this is stressful because I've been doing it this week and I've been personally attacked. It doesn't help. Don't attack them. Someone like Ant Healy at APRA, which is the New Zealand, for Americans, it's the New Zealand version of ASCAP. He's a hero. The event that they organise every year, the APRA Silver Scroll Awards, is an absolute triumph of creative excellence. It really works. It's soulful. It matters. If we walk away from those people, we walk away from that too. Okay, they might be annoying, but we have to not personalise this issue, and we have to see these people as people that we can work with eventually. And that's another thing I like about Creative Freedom, is that they've got 12,000 people have signed their petition. 8,000 of them have identified as artists. That is a new constituency, and I really hope, Matthew, you can keep doing this, because Internet New Zealand has done a lot of great stuff on these issues. It's not an artist body. It can't be that, and it shouldn't be that. But if we have this other voice that can advocate from a different principle, then we're going to go somewhere. And I really hope, you know, all I'm looking for this week, may or may not happen, is that the government actually calls time and delays the implementation of Section 92A for 3 or 6 months. I don't think that's too much to ask when you look at the context. The draft code of conduct for the Telecommunications Carriers Forum has not been agreed to by the copyright holders. There's months of debate in that. This is a law that depends entirely on what's in the code. The law itself is utterly vague. And if the code's not ready, it is not wise to bring the law into effect. And furthermore, when you look at the way this happened, it is quite extraordinary. A select committee heard public submissions to the effect that 92A was undesirable and took out the measure. It was put back in the final stage, Committee of the Whole House. There was no debate. There was one response when the bill was reintroduced. That was Chris Finlayson, who said, "We support this measure." And the reason I actually ended up on the radio yesterday was because John Key was there on the radio talking to Mikey Havoc on BFM, and he said, "A, we didn't support this bill." "Yes, you did." "And B, oh, okay, we did, but we were advised by officials to support it." Not true either. The MED officials said, "This is unnecessary and undesirable. We recommend it be deleted." And I'd actually like to thank Mark Harris, who's one of our public address readers, as well as many other things, for spotting that. Because it's an extraordinary thing that no one else has spotted, that the advice was to not include this. And the justifications for it have not, in my view, been adequate. But on to happier things. Why television is not the web. I'm in television now. It's great. It's really great compared to being a print freelancer, where the dollar rate has not gone up for 15 years. And it's fun, and it's collaborative. And you might think, well, hey, it's cool. Look at this.
I'm Alec Baldwin, TV star. You know, they say TV will rot your brain. That's absurd. TV only softens the brain, like a ripe banana, to take it all the way. We've created Hulu. Hulu beams TV directly to your portable computing devices, giving you more of the cerebral gelatinizing shows you want, anytime, anywhere, for free.
I only hang out because I want your love. Dynamite!
Mushy mush. And the best part is there's nothing you can do to stop it. I mean, what are you going to do, turn off your TV and your computer? Once your brains are reduced to a cottage cheese like mush, we'll scoop them out with a melon bowler and gobble them right on up. Oops, I think I'm drooling a little. Because we're aliens. And that's how we roll. Hulu, an evil plot to destroy the world. Enjoy.
I should point out that, that was Hulu's Super Bowl ad. And it's traditional to regard the Super Bowl ad lineup as some indication of the American zeitgeist. So there was that one. You think, wow, things are happening. Unfortunately, quite a few of the other ads were, now is the time to melt down your gold jewelry for cash, which is slightly depressing. But, okay, Hulu sounds great. Fox and NBC have gotten together. Normally, big media companies don't make their own retailers, don't make good retailers for themselves, but it seems to be working. It's free and it's ad-supported. But this is what you see if you try and look at a Hulu clip from New Zealand. Sorry, currently our video library can only be streamed from within the United States. And they say they're trying to fix that and get streaming rights worldwide. I'll believe it when I see it. This is an industry that is utterly bound up in an old but particularly sticky distribution network. And that's why television breaks in ways that we expect media to work. That's why it's not the web. If it was the web, you'd be able to see it and then go to the fan site. And it's not actually unusual. BBC iPlayer, widely hailed as an absolute success story. So much so that it's actually put pressure on the infrastructure there. They've got DRM-protected downloads now for the Mac and streams, and it seems to work. People are watching their catch-up TV like this. But say I want to do that. Say I want to, see the top right corner there, that smarmy git physicist guy that used to be in the electropop band that now does science documentaries for Horizon. Wouldn't mind seeing that. Nope. Currently, BBC iPlayer TV programs are available to play in the UK only. And beyond that, also, they expire. Another reason that television is just not like the internet. We've grown up for the past 15 years knowing that everything we do or say will always be there on an archive somewhere. Not in television. And we've got our own one of these. It's fantastic. I'm actually genuinely impressed with what TVNZ has been able to achieve with TVNZ On Demand. Traffic, not so high. I think that's been a learning experience for everyone. But they've got the major US series, plus all the local series. In fact, pretty much everything except movies from the schedules of TV 1, 2, 6, and 7. That's pretty good going. They will probably next month start trialling HD streaming. A year ago, we would not have thought HD streaming was a realistic probability. Now you can go and see HD streams on YouTube, and they just work. The irony I find, actually, is that I'm on a digital channel that's not HD, and I quite often find myself using stuff off YouTube that's at a higher resolution than my bloody television channel, which there's some irony in that. One of the things that's made our show work is not ratings. The digital channels have just come on Nielsen's radar, just actually last week. But instead of ratings, we had something that you'll all be familiar with, web stats. And we did really well there. In fact, we did so well that our program is now twice the length. The reason we did well is kind of interesting. When we first started at the beginning of last year, the message from TVNZ was very much, okay, everything to do with this show has to be inside the tent. We want our name on everything. We want to own everything. So there'll be a Media 7 blog, but it has to be on the TVNZ site. And, basically we want to own everything. And I thought, okay, that's not going to work for me. I'm not going to, admin your crazy, discussion forum PHP board things. They're not good. So I just ignored them. And every Thursday after the show, I would start linking into the video. And lo and behold, we were far and away the most popular of the 6 and 7 shows and regularly top 10 overall amongst all the TVNZ shows, which certainly helped make us stand out. We were the success story. We were the success story because I ignored the idea that everything should happen inside the circle and started sending in traffic from outside. And I actually think that that idea has gotten through, but it's actually a really hard one for TV in particular, but big media in general, to accept inbound and outbound links. Relationships are really difficult for these people to do. It's just not the tradition. Whereas on the internet, it's all about relationships. It's all about who we link to. Another reason why TVNZ, TV is not the web. By the way, we can geo-block people too. There you go. Take that, world. This video is for New Zealand viewers only. Which is actually a complete pain in the ass, because I have readers all over the world via the blog. People have been following me for quite a long time and they want to see the show and they can't. Well, they can, but they'll get to that. But the geoblock pages look really sad. They look so much sadder than the other parts of the websites. I think there's something in that. What we have been able to do, what I'll do is show you something that's not geoblocked. I'm on the board of NZ On Screen. I think last year when I was here, I told you it was coming, and it took a little bit longer than we thought, but it is coming. And I'm really, really proud of what we've done with this. Not just because it works brilliantly. These are the best video streams I've ever used in this country. They work really, really well, and I think Brenda Lewenberg's done a great job. But we've done what we can to be webby about it. Everything that we create for the site is Creative Commons licensed. And one day, maybe, we'll go to the next step, and that would be embedding. This is another really, again, it's a relationship thing. I still can't embed my own show on my own website unless I use YouTube, which is kind of ironic. But you try and go to people in the screen production industry and say, yeah, well, it's here, it's non-profit, it's all for the public good, but we're also going to let people put it in their websites, and that just sounds like it's akin to theft, and they really don't like it. We'll also get to, I would hope, at some point, to people being able to download, particularly stuff from Archives New Zealand, who we have a fantastic relationship with. They're really good people, but it's still very hard to get across this idea that there is no particular reason why someone should not be able to download and take away this clip, that there is a public good in them being able to do so. Our Creative Commons license also precludes derivative use, which is kind of a shame, but we're getting there. But again, these are two completely different worlds. That is our microsite on the TVNZ site. We are still on the old template, and it's the ugliest website you have ever seen. If you were to scroll down there, you would see, I think, four more pictures of Simon Pound and I, because the template has all these little shutters in it. And, I can see Robin over there. I feel your pain, Robin. It's kind of frustrating, but we're going to get onto the big, fancy new template at some point soon. And we do have, and again, this deserves some praise, we've got podcasts. Kind of hard to find, but they're there. And we also have our YouTube channel. This has been really interesting because TVNZ has a strategic relationship with Google. The actual real-world effect of that seems to have been to prevent TVNZ at times from doing things that a nine-year-old could do. And I'm not blaming anyone at TVNZ. I feel their pain too. They've absolutely done their best. I think what we're seeing here to some extent is the Sydney syndrome. You see it with big IT companies. It happened with Apple for years. They're based across the Tasman, and they're really not looking at us. And for 2 weeks this year, no one was able to upload anything to our official super-duper strategic partner YouTube channel. And no one could find out why. Google didn't get back to us. And I think, if anyone has any sway there, I think that relationship needs some attention. This is just me speaking personally, not on behalf of TVNZ, but it was kind of frustrating. YouTube's an interesting one, actually, because if you go there, you'll find, and it, it it seems a bit fitful, but we can't.
And finally, the British phone company T-Mobile has aired a showpiece TV ad in which actors materialised in the crowd at London's Liverpool Street station and stirred a dancing frenzy. That in turn saw a 13,000 strong flash mob summoned via Facebook to the same station. It was art imitating an ad imitating art, the so-called mobile clubbing phenomenon in which groups of young people suddenly assemble, dance wildly to whatever is on their respective iPods, then disperse. This is the world our children will inherit.
That's from our regular news match segment, which is a news montage, which you won't find generally on our YouTube channel. And that's a policy issue. The copyright lawyers at TVNZ came through and said, well, we're a little bit worried about the intellectual property, you know, aspects of putting this on YouTube. To which my response was, well, that's where it came from. I do find it quite puzzling. Both the clips you saw there came from YouTube, which is the source of great goodness, you know, when you're putting together an international news montage, because you can pick up stuff from all over the world. We rely and we lean very heavily on the fact that we're exercising fair dealing and we're using those for the purposes of criticism and review. Still can't put them on YouTube, which is ironic. But that's the world of TV again. It's not a file-based world. When we started doing the show and wanted to do this montage section, in the Avid suite that we use, we actually had to work out a workflow for getting files into the thing. TV is still a tape-based world. No one knew how to do it. In the end, what I do is grab all this stuff, export it to DV at home, big files, but you know, flash drives are big these days, and take it in. No one actually had been doing that, and you can still see that right through TV, particularly with HD. They're struggling to get up to speed on that. For instance, on TVNZ, you can't have an HD program on two channels at once. There's only one suite that can do all the compositing. Sky TV, one HD tape player. If that breaks down, they actually don't have any programs. So there's no redundancy, and it's actually taken quite a long time for all this to flow through. Meanwhile, I can do all this stuff on my computer at home that the professional Avid suite in the same facility where they do things like Outrageous Fortune can't do. I was hoping to have clips from Foo Camp up on the Media 7 blog this morning. Too hard. It was too hard at every stage of the process. But again, it was the kind of thing that my kids can do and have done. So this is, you know, again, this is the gulf still between TV and the web. But TV has some advantages. TV totally scales. When Claire Curran asked a question in Parliament this week, a lot of people who'd been following the 92A thing got quite excited. It was all over the Twitter feed, it was all over the group mailing list, and everyone converged on the parliamentary web stream. And then they all started to panic about whether the load would actually bring it crashing down and they'd miss it all. I was watching it on Freeview and recording it straight to disk with my ITV. It was really good. TV does scale really well. Broadcast, it's almost fashionable to say I don't watch broadcast TV anymore. Broadcast TV has its advantages. Freeview. Who's got Freeview? Keep your hands up if you've got Freeview HD. It's not very many people. Who watches the digital channel programs on the TVNZ website? Oh. Freeview, you can feel good about Freeview. I think it's a success story. Right at the beginning, they made a difficult but correct technical decision. Had they decided to go with standard definition MPEG-2, it would have been much easier. The boxes would have been under $100. They would have been all over the shops. Yeah, you would have had all kinds of devices that could do it. It would have, in one way, it would have been a better PR move for them to go commodity. But they made the decision to go MPEG-4, H.264, and HD. And gradually, the price of the equipment's coming down, and for once, yeah, and this is actually quite remarkable, for once, we don't, in New Zealand, have the wrong technology. We've done this so many times, in the telecommunications industry in particular, mobile telephony, we've done it wrong so many times. In this case, they did it right. And I've seen some of the consumer research that Freeview did at the end of last year, and it actually looks pretty good. Basically, it looks like, you know, judging by consumer intentions, if they keep doing what they're doing, then in maybe 3 to 5 years' time, they will have half the digital television market, and we can actually look at analog switch off. The other half, of course, will be Sky, and that's okay too. But basically, Freeview looks like it's on track, which is good for me because, and don't take this as any indication of policy, but I would not be surprised to see TVNZ 6 and 7 on Sky this year because it looks like Freeview does not need the help. And I think that's a really healthy situation. But I don't actually watch all that much broadcast TV. And my kids barely watch any. And I kind of think this is something that we don't actually do.
Worth it.
All that well
in
here. Holy
shit, this there's sort of so thing. Many zombies. So many zombies. Oh my God, there's... Like, stop! Oh, holy God, there's so many. Oh my God!
Nothing that good on TV for my kids. And, seriously. And it's funny because they'll watch the angry video game nerd, who that was, and all his friends, the nostalgia nerd, and you'll hear at times, actually, when they first started watching all this stuff, I thought there were terrible fights going on in the office because we tend to let them have the office in the evening. And I'd hear all this swearing. No, it wasn't the kids swearing at each other. It was the angry video game nerd. And this is actually the program. They're not even watching, you know, for a while there, I guess they were watching, going through entire anime series, on YouTube. Bit of that still happens. But increasingly, they're watching things that actually don't appear on television at all. They're watching web video. And you can see why, because it works for them. And I kind of wonder why we don't do more video podcast stuff like this. I think we tend to be a little bit worthy and serious in New Zealand about podcasting. Because certainly audio podcasting, it's really hard to get people to listen. Radio New Zealand has done it and done it so well, but I don't think anyone else has really cracked it. Richard Hulse. Another reason that Richard Hulse deserves praise is there's no DRM on that site and there's no geo-blocking. And, that's visionary. And I think the rest of the broadcast industry will catch up eventually, but Richard's led the way there and it's a good thing. But why don't we have more of this kind of stuff that people actually want to watch online? It does puzzle me. And you're actually seeing this in children's television as well. The audiences from children's television, for children's television on broadcast TV are draining away. Kids are going elsewhere. And I actually think this should be quite a concern for television because these kids, my younger boy is 14 and a half. He's never lived in a house without an internet connection. And his expectations of media are completely different than ours. Well, than ours were. They're probably more like yours and mine are now. And it does, I wonder when we're going to get to grips with this. I think that traditional broadcast needs to work out lower cost ways of making programs, needs to get used to using files, and creative people like you people out here actually need to weigh in and start doing stuff yourselves too. Mohawk Media with The Geek Show, I think, provide a really good example, but there's just not enough of that there. I could see a pathway from the web to Freeview for some of this kind of stuff. I think what Freeview is missing at the moment is something that we're familiar with online, again, is an aggregator. I think there needs to be an aggregator channel that can bundle up, you know, parcel out time in ways that can be afforded. Again, we're stuck with this really monolithic model for television. If you can't come up with $1 million up front to pay to Cordia, then you can't get on. And we need people to get in there and disintermediate and do this kind of stuff. Because television's fun. It's a really interesting place to be. It's going to get more interesting. That's the great delight of doing what we're doing on TVNZ7, is that we don't actually have to make commercial television. And we would still not be making commercial television even if we had ads in the breaks, which we don't. I wouldn't mind that personally. What we're able to do is not make television in the ways that everyone thinks you have to make it. We can discuss things differently. We don't have to dumb down everything we do. So and there's going to be more of this. It's a fun place to be, and I think that you guys can help bring it closer to the kind of media that we understand, and some of us can work in there and try and pull it the other way. But eventually, I think television will be more like the web. Thank you.